great. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And at this time, I would like to read an announcement. Sunday school classes are invited to breakfast August the 12th in Overby Hall. Breakfast will be served at 9:30 a.m. We hope everyone can join together for this time of fellowship as we kick off the new Sunday school year. We look forward to seeing everyone on the 12th. And this notice comes from the Christian Education Committee. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love.
May you have the power to know the love of Christ as knowledge.
Know to the one who is able to accomplish far more than all we can ask or imagine.
God be the glory of the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever.
Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Please join with me in the reading of the prayer of confession, followed by the silent prayers of confession. Blessed Redeemer, have mercy upon us as we forgive our sins. You endow us with goodness while we squander your blessings. We yearn for the possessions that our neighbors enjoy. Envy, greed, and selfishness consume us. Satisfaction eludes us as our cravings increase. Quiet our longing for material riches and help us trust in Jesus who provides. Please join with me now in the reading of the assurance of pardon. And now, may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love, that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth.
This morning. Come on up, have a seat. All right, now I'm kind of new here, so you guys are going to have to tell me your name. So, what's your name? Kenna? Let's say again.
McKenna.
Oh, I should know that.
Michaela.
Pastor John has ears that sometimes have cotton in them, so I'm sorry. But Michaela, that's a pretty name. Yes, and what's yours? Joyce, okay. Cameron? What do you think? Brooks, okay. And you down at the end?
Benjamin.
Is that Benjamin? That's Benjamin, that's Brooks. Okay. I'll eventually get well, meet you all, and I'm Pastor. Have you all ever had somebody come to your house and stay a while, like for a long visit?
Okay. Did it take a lot of work to get ready? No? Not too bad? Okay. And if it has, one of the wonderful things is, I'm going to just read this. I'm just talking about this. Was it a relative, maybe? Somebody from your family, like an aunt or an uncle or something? Or just a friend? Just a friend? Aunt. Okay. And, you know, it's wonderful to have in common. They come and have a lot of good time with them for a while. But have you ever had somebody who has come to stay in your house? Okay. Like a family member, somebody? A brother, a sister? Okay. And that's a whole different ballgame, then, because they have to have their own. What all did they need to have? Like a room of their own? Did they get a room of their own? Okay. And they like to, they probably like to eat, don't they? No? They didn't like to eat? Okay. Some people don't eat that much, but everybody's got to eat a little. Okay. Well, did you know that you have somebody that has come to your house, hopefully, that has come to stay for the rest of your life? Jesus has come to your house. Did you know that? Do you have enough food for him? All stuff in the basement. Okay. How about, did he get his own room? Yes. Okay. Where is the room? Upstairs. Cool. Okay. You know, I was thinking about where Jesus stays with me, because he can go anywhere we go, any place we go. He stays right here in our hearts. So he can have his own room. We can have a place where we have maybe a Bible that's sitting there, and we go there and we worship at home sometimes. And we certainly feed other people, but the love of Jesus is in our hearts. And one of the scripture passages that I'm going to read here in a minute says that, take it. Well, anyhow, the passage in the Bible that I was thinking that I'm going to read here in a little bit says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you have been rooted and grounded. Love that passage. And that reminds us that wherever love is, whether it's at school or wherever you show love to somebody at your house, to a brother or sister or an aunt or an uncle, if you show love to a schoolmate that maybe is down, you know, down in the dumps and you help cheer him up, if you go to, and just anywhere you show somebody love, Jesus is right in your hearts, helping us wherever we go. Wherever there's love, there's Jesus. So as you guys think about, go out and do stuff, maybe if you're going on vacation, if you're, it's not school time yet. But anywhere you go this week, and you see and you try to share God's love, remember that Jesus is dwelling with you, living with you. Everyone. Let's have a word of prayer.
Stand up.
Yeah, everybody grab a hand. And I'm sorry I yelled at your arm. You're here a little bit. Okay. You come around here, Benjamin? Let's pray. Dear Lord, wherever we live, you are there with us. Help us to remember that wherever we show love, you are there. Wherever there needs to be love, we can be there sharing your love. Be with us this week as we go forth, and know that you live with us all times. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you, Pastor McDonald, for that reminder, for young and for old. Please join me now in the reading of the prayer for illumination. O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear, and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. And now for the scripture reading, which is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Before I read the gospel lesson for this morning, one other prayer concern's been lifted up to me, and that is for the mother of Kathleen Harris, Helen. She has been hospitalized, and they wanted us to know, to let people know that she needs blood. And so if you have O negative blood, if you would be willing to donate that, that would be greatly appreciated. So that's, I guess, right down the street here at the hospital. And now we turn to the gospel lesson, a wonderful passage from John chapter 6. We kind of read around these last week as we read in Luke's gospel, but these are some of the most beloved passages in Scripture, one of the tremendous miracles of Jesus' ministry. So we look to the sixth chapter of John, the first 20, what did I tell people? First 21 verses. Hear now, once again, the word of God. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd came following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up, he saw a large crowd coming toward him. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "6 month wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And when evening came, his disciples went to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As marvelous as those stories are in John's gospel, we're not really dealing with them. We'll come back to them towards the end, but I want us to look at the Ephesians passage. There are 2 phrases in this 3rd chapter of Ephesians that I absolutely love. I love them because they are so descriptive of what probably every pastor, every teacher of the word and minister prays for when he prays for his congregation. The first passage that I want to look at is in verses 16 through 18. The author there says, "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." What a wonderful prayer. Strength, power, knowledge of the indwelling Christ, all topped off with the love and fullness of God. It describes a kind of heavenly banquet that surpasses all imagination. And as you can tell by my shape, I can imagine a pretty good banquet. It describes a smorgasbord of divine delights, better than the best beach seafood buffet or the most delicious Golden Corral spread that you've ever seen. And the best part of it is, after you've partaken of it, you don't have heartburn. Although, come to think of it, your heart may burn for all the right reasons. When you truly experience the indwelling Christ, your heart may burn with the Holy Spirit compelling you to tell of and to live into the marvelous household of God, that household of God that is filled with God's love. In seminary, there was a weight room in the basement of one of the dorms. And several of us young bucks at the time loved to go down there and impress each other about how much we could bench press or curl or clean and jerk. But now, as I look back on it, now I'm just impressed that I have the strength to mow my lawn and get up here every week and have something hopeful and interesting to say. You learn over the years. You learn that doing the spiritual lifting in prayer helps us much more, far more than anything we could ever do in a gym. If we start praying the prayer of Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, whether it's praying for ourselves or praying for others, it always points us to the need for divine intervention. If we are to live in a way that reflects our knowledge of the love of Christ, when we are tempted to abuse power, when we are faced with overwhelming need, we need to pray this prayer more and more. It moves our attention away from us and toward God. It opens us to the following of Jesus' instructions to us. Even when we are tempted to abuse our power, even when we are feeling useless in the face of the world's needs. Maybe if we spent more time strengthening our inner being with power through the Spirit, Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith as we would be rooted and grounded in his love. With Christ's indwelling presence in our lives, we would have the power to comprehend with all the saints, now and forevermore, what is that breadth, what is that length, what is the height and the depth of Christ's love, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And we would be filled with the fullness of God. What if this was our daily prayer for ourselves, our daily prayer for our communities of faith, our daily prayer for this world? Perhaps beginning with these petitions, we would shape how we treat the least among us, the last among us, the lost among us, the hungry crowds, the threats at the sea, the use of our power. And we would share what we have, this awe-inspiring love with others. And we might even end up impressing ourselves. Are you open to that kind of presence in your life? Do you open the doors of your heart to Christ's presence all the time or just part of the time? There's a difference, as I was talking with the children about, between somebody visiting your house and someone coming to live in it. If you invite someone over to your house for dinner, you're going to spend an inordinate amount of time preparing for that visit. You'll clean up the house. You may even do some preparing of food and drink. You may even put on some clean sheets on the bed in case they stay the night. And you know, though, that you're, even if you have a nice visit, they're going to leave. You may be exhausted. Hopefully you've had a good time, but they'll leave and you can go back to your old way of living. But if you invite someone to live with you, it's a whole new ball game. You may not go through maybe the intense preparation that you did with a short-term visit, but in the end, you have even more to do. For that person needs their space. The chores are constant. Their presence limits what you can and cannot do. But then think about the rewards as well. In the best cases, their presence brings a richness that you cannot have by yourself. They may add to your life more love, more fun, more aggravation maybe, more heartache perhaps. But it would be more of everything than you could have ever imagined on your own. It is even more so with Christ. Such is the case when you invite Jesus in for more than just a visit. There will be more than a tweaking of old patterns in your life. Everything might change. Conversations change. Relationships realign. Household tasks increase and responsibility shifts. I like what Eugene Peterson does in his paraphrase, The Message, in this passage, where he captures this sense about Christ. He says that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And that invitation has to go beyond inviting him in just while we're at church. As I was speaking with the young people, you invite, you show that love at home. You show that love at school. You show that love at work. You show that love and when you're at Walmart. It goes well beyond the doors of the church. We pastors should not be under the illusion that because worshipers are in the church, that they've all let Christ in their spiritual houses for more than just an occasional visit. We cannot assume that they have used or they have tasted the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of love of Christ. Even if the person in the pews may not let Christ into their lives, they may be merely offering a grudging guest room or a spot on their couch. In J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter novels, when Harry first comes to live with his aunt and uncle, what do they do with him? They put him in this poor, cramped space in a cupboard under the stairs. I want to ask you today, how much room are we willing to give up for Christ, for others in the family of God? Paul's prayer is full of hope for something different. For Christ to take over these people and strengthen them by the power of God's own Spirit. His prayer is for both power and love. Power to comprehend the depth and the breadth of Christ's love, and to be so filled with the fullness of God that it opens them to all kinds of possibilities. Which brings me to the other phrase in this passage that I adore. The passage ends with this awesome power that I spoke of, where it says, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." An openness to the power of the Spirit and an expectation that Christ will dwell in our hearts helps us to give what we have instead of take what is another's. Being rooted and grounded in love reveals that nothing really belongs to us anyway. An awareness of the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ inspires us to a breadth and length and height and depth of love for others that we did not know we could extend. And being filled with the fullness of God prevents us from being too full of ourselves. It doesn't make us perfect, but it does give us perspective. It opens our senses to more than we can physically see and touch and smell and hear. There is more to this world than the mechanisms that govern the physical realm. With the help of the Spirit, maybe we can be dutiful to our responsibilities. Maybe we can be generous, like the young boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish from our gospel story. Through Christ dwelling within our hearts, we might be moved with compassion for the crowd rather than inclined to send them away like the disciples were. Rooted and grounded in love, we could give what we have to God instead of grab whatever we can get from each other. As we gain knowledge of the expansive nature of the love of God, we will no doubt experience that God can do through us more than we could ever have asked or imagined of ourselves. Maybe like feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jill Duffield summed it up very well in a recent Bible study. When she wrote this, she said, "When it is all too easy to get overwhelmed by the breadth of hunger in the world, the length to which people will go to get power and wealth and influence, the height of abuse of the vulnerable, and the depth with which humanity sinks, we inevitably look at 5 loaves and 2 fish and ask with Philip, what are they among so many people?" That's when Jesus says, "Make the people sit down, stop and watch. Know that even when we fail the test of faith, Jesus is faithful. When we are empty, Jesus gives bread that satisfies. When we worry that there is not enough, the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Christ's love means that there are baskets of leftovers and nothing will be lost. And if we are struggling with imagining that such miracles are possible, let us open our hearts and there will be enough. There's plenty of space. All we have to do is open ourselves to the possibilities." Amen. Let us stand and sing our next hymn, number 333, "Seek Ye First." Let's remain standing as we affirm our faith. We're doing a little something different today. We're going to say the Nicene Creed. And if you're like me and have not memorized the Nicene Creed, it's on page 15 in your hymn book. So let us affirm our faith. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered all, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who was and the Son together, is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life in the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. Lord God, you have blessed us richly with so many things and so many gifts, especially the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us as we respond to that love and that generosity with generosity of our own, that we may give willingly and lovingly to accomplish your work both here in this congregation, this community, and the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, we do have that one concern that's been brought to us about Ms. Harris in the hospital, but do we have any other additional joys or concerns that anyone would like to share this morning? Okay, if not, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Lord God, you give us so many things, and yet oftentimes we close our doors, the doors of our lives, hold on jealously to our time and our hearts. Open our hearts that they may be open to your work, to your love, to sharing with others, to doing your work. Help us as we take what we have been given and open our hearts to look around us with open eyes. Help us to see where there is hurting. Help us to see where there is need. Help us to see where we can make an impact through your guidance and strength. You have lifted up to us many, some we list here in the bulletin and others we hold in our hearts. You know what their need is, whether they are in need of strength, guidance, healing, mercy. Help them to know that your loving arms are around them. And help us as we open our arms to them as well. Hear our prayers for each of those we mention. We ask that you would be with Claudine, with Nelson, with Charles, and Lib. Hear our prayers for Diane, for Bill, for Martha Jo, for Beth, for Ellen, for Friel, for Ella, for Jim, and Tom. Lord, hear our prayers, and we give you thanks that you have worked within Betty. And we ask that you would be with Helen as she goes through a hospital stay. Be with Tim, with Caden, with Mac, and with Nolte. Your love knows no bounds, Lord. Help us to be equally as open and generous with our hearts. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and bind us together with your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn, number 403, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.